12:40 a.m. WSBC. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub in Beverly and in Bridgeport here in Chicago.
Yes.
Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Delicious.
Flood Brothers Disposal. Boom.
Fantastic.
Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you.
And yes. Me.
And the International Association of Firefighters Union Local 2.
Love them.
My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, to my left is my twin brother, Billy.
What's up?
Billy?
Hello.
Hi, Bill. And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien Clay. Hello. Greetings.
Greetings to you.
We're back another week. I haven't had any crazy dreams like I had last week.
That was something else.
I had poo-poo political dreams.
Yes.
And you'll have to go back to the archived episode to understand that statement.
If you want to.
I don't want to elaborate. I must tease with the poo-poo dreams at the top of the next episode.
Right. But, yeah, I'm happy to hear that. That was very strange.
But summer is in full swing now.
Sure
is. The kids are out of school. Claire, your children?
Officially done, yes.
Officially done, yes. So now we're waiting the waiting game for camps to open.
Camps to start.
The pools have opened.
Baseball continues. The heat beats down on you.
The heat is, it's hot tonight, folks. It's heating up here in the city.
It's heating up.
It's a little, the other day it felt more like a dry heat.
Sure.
All right? And then today it's kind of muggy. And you know what I thought to myself?
What's a dry heat, Pat? Like you're in Tempe?
Yeah, like you're in Tempe. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, Palm Desert.
You ever been to Tempe? Right.
No, but I hear it's dry heat.
I hear it's wonderful.
Whatever. Yeah. I said to myself when I woke up, when I felt that heat this morning, and it's a sick thing to say, but I said it's a good day to get murdered.
Oh,
God.
That's what that heat makes me think about now.
Unfortunately, that is what you think of.
Well, people start flying off the handle a little bit when it gets hot out.
It's like the same 100 people.
No, I've
every weekend.
I don't know.
The gang factions.
Sure. I witnessed it the other day. A person just snapping off.
What do you mean?
I went to Jiffy Lube. I had to get my oil changed.
Ah, yes. Old Jiffy Lube. All right.
Yeah, old Jiffy Lube. Bill says it. Oh, yes. Old Jiffy Lube.
That's right.
Wilfred Brimley.
Did you have a coupon?
You always get a coupon with Jiffy Lube, right?
Yeah, they look up
That's
the coupon
part of the scam.
Mention the coupon.
No coupons all year. No? Just make them think they're getting something for free. It's always,
sometimes
we
it's
know
12,
what our price
sometimes
point
it's
is.
$8 off. Sometimes it's
$7
off.
It's all a lie.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It was very hot out. I went to Jiffy Lube. I waited.
Nothing worse.
I waited like an hour, but you know.
That waiting room is sticky.
This is what I'm getting.
The waiting
at.
Room is like 26th and Cal.
It is. Well, the waiting room in a Jiffy Lube is a different scene. The waiting room in a Jiffy Lube is a different kind of scene.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of like the McDonald's of like mechanics. You know what I mean? Because
you get to see everything that's going on.
Well, people may fly off. So I'm sitting there at the Jiffy Lube, and they've got the flat screen TV, the Keurig coffee maker.
Yeah, but those
maker.
Guys got power tools. I wouldn't be flying off with anybody that's handling power tools.
They're off to the side. There's only one
busy.
Guy. Yeah, it's just you're in this little cubby. There's seating for about seven people.
You think they flip for it in the morning? You got to work the inside.
Oh, absolutely.
They might.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
I bet they draw straws for it.
Anyway, I'm sitting down. There's two women in there, right? Mm-hmm.
What's on the big screen? Just prices?
Gordon Ramsay was on. Except that Gordon, everyone's trying to watch Gordon. You can just hear Gordon Ramsay.
Well, he's an angry person, so that could set people off.
Yes, it's the heat.
He set the tone.
Right, I'm at the Jiffy Lube. It's hot out. Gordon Ramsay's on the TV.
This omelet is horrible.
There's no cold drinks. It's just hot coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And, The TV, you could only partially see Gordon Ramsay because they had the channel menu up.
Oh, boy.
But it hadn't been adjusted for hours. So,
somebody's upset about that.
Yeah, so you can't. So everyone's on their phones, looking on their phones with Gordon Ramsay. Mm-hmm. And this woman next to me, I just hear her going, you're a selfish person. I don't want you ever in my house again. And when I get home, I want you out of grandma's house.
She's on the phone.
Yeah, she goes, you went and used my card for $75.
Ooh, that's
right. Bad. And then now you don't want to pay me back, you know? And she's like,
aerial.
I want you on the street, you know, and screaming into her phone, like, be gone.
For $75.
You know? And she's
be gone like a wizard.
Right. Big, like she's exposed.
Like she's Gandalf.
Right. Be gone.
Be gone.
Right. Be gone.
Grandma's house.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
she's screaming into the
take
phone.
It down.
Using lots of expletives. All right.
Wow.
You should have said, take it easy, Gandalf.
I'm like, I'm going, oh, man.
No one's flinching.
But I'm going, this is all over 70 bucks? Like, hey. This is extreme.
Some
you know?
People only got.
Well, you felt like Calodro in a Bronx Tale.
You know, I'm going to tell you what I felt
maybe
like.
Years later, you'll run into that woman and she'll say, it wasn't over 75 bucks at the Jiffy Lube.
It was more than the 75, she'll say to you.
Anyways.
Back to the story.
Yeah.
She's screaming into the phone.
Yes.
No one's doing anything.
Of course not.
Right? Everyone's just like, staring at the phone.
Read this story.
And it's kind of amusing because this woman knew how to swear. You know?
Yeah.
She was good at it. It was kind of Chicago-y.
Takes a special talent to do that.
Flipping out on the phone.
Yeah.
And then my favorite part, she's got some Wendy's. There's a Wendy's next door to She brought her Wendy's. She knew she was going to be waiting a while. So she's doing her business prepared. On the phone. She makes another call, you know, after that.
Yes.
But people are in their own world, okay?
Right.
And while she's on the phone, she's describing what she got from Wendy's to the person on the other line.
Yes.
Right? She's like, I got a chicken sandwich, you know. And
so it was almost like she was having phone sex and she was talking about fast food.
How did her order?
No, Bill. It was nothing like phone sex.
Oh, okay.
Bill's totally 80s.
Bill's brain just goes to phone sex.
He's still into phone sex.
You said she was talking about fast food.
So she was talking about.
She was talking about fast food and got kind of phone sexy, huh? No, just trying to heat it up.
How did her order?
It sounds like it's going to get heating up pretty soon in this story.
Was her order good or no?
She had a spicy chicken sandwich,
which
a staple from Wendy's, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Some fries, but the kicker was this: she got a Frosty, right?
Nice.
Oh, you can't suck them; they're hard lately.
And the conversation stops for a moment, right? She's not talking to the woman anymore. It's a very long beat, and you hear the rustling of her hand in the bag.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And she goes, "And they forgot my mother effing spoon, right?" Right. And now I can't have my Frosty. Like, she couldn't have her Frosty because you got to have a spoon to have a Frosty.
Yeah, no, I let it kind of melt down.
It's too thick, right?
It's too thick.
And she goes, and this is the best part. She goes, it's too hot out. I've had enough of this, right? And she goes, F you, Wendy! Red-headed biatch! You know?
Wow.
F you! You know?
Yes.
I'm like, this is amazing.
Wendy.
But she didn't care that any of us were in the room. Like, it's like we didn't even exist.
Did you turn to her and go, I hate Wendy too?
No, this dude, the dude who worked at Jiffy Lube rolls up. He looks exactly like Kevin Hart. He's like a little short black dude.
Yeah.
He's like, who's Wendy? You know, he's like, yo, man, you owe me $185. You know, I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? Yeah, again, Mike Sarkowski, our producer, sends me a note. Weirdness follows you again.
Yeah.
Yes.
You saw, you basically saw someone yell at a cartoon.
I saw someone who was in their own bubble, like none of us existed. It was her in the phone, and that was her universe, right?
Yes.
Wendy's made a cameo, and
just Wendy.
I knew she was talking to Wendy's, you know, but addressing Wendy as if it was like a, you know, person
you address,
who with,
where I come from, you address
and
Wendy
they
with respect.
Forgot my mother effing spoon. F you, Wendy.
Wow.
Redheaded idiot.
Wow.
Everybody else, the other woman around me, she's on the phone. She's just in her own world, like right over
no
her
one
head.
Stops.
No one's hearing any of this.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, you can't laugh in that situation because I don't want her to turn on me, you know?
Right.
Because I'm not in the universe. I never established myself in the universe. So when she went off on Wendy, I knew, like, let her and Wendy work that out.
You know
like, right? Like, don't start giggling, you know?
You know what you should have done?
Hmm.
You should have walked to Wendy's and got her a spoon and given it to her.
Wow, now that would have been compassionate.
That's what Jesus would have done.
You're right. It is what he would have done. Especially on a hot day like today.
Or he would have just said.
It would have been the ultimate good Samaritan, man.
He could have taken her to the Cork and Carry, too, maybe.
I could have given her a cigarette. I said, I don't have any spoons, but I got cigarettes.
You can dip the butt of this cigarette.
Yeah, hey, after that spicy chicken sandwich, this might taste pretty good.
No, you do
dip. And by the way, they're menthol, and they're going to be discontinued soon.
Yeah, so this is rare.
So this is
like a Mickey Mantle rookie card.
Right.
So this is what you do. Take the butt of this thing and dip it in your Frosty and suck on it. Do that 60 times.
You know, actually, it might give it kind of a minty kind of vanilla minty taste.
Yeah, it's like mint chocolate chip because it's a Salem.
Well, one place I know you won't find erratic and crazy insane people is the Cork and Kerry.
That's right.
Everybody's welcoming and judgment-free and loving.
Yes, they are.
This show is sponsored by the Cork and Kerry, after that big plug and that strange story. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by to Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister, back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Mm-hmm. It's just beginning.
It's heating up. Welcome to summer in Chicago.
The Sox are heating up, too. It all so are the Cubs, man. Baseball's alive and well.
Oh, big time.
Baseball's heating up. Tempers are flaring.
Where? How so, Clay?
We had an incident.
Oh, on the children's diamond.
Yeah, on the 8-year-old on diamond number 3.
Yes.
On field number 3.
Field number 3.
Here's the scenario. Let me lay it down for you.
All right.
So in the coach pitch league, there's a rule about the size of the barrel of the bat you can use. It can't be over a certain size.
Right.
If the barrel of the bat's too big, the ball comes off the bat really fast, and kids can get hit in the face.
And hurt.
Kids can get injured. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So the team we're playing seems to be using said illegal bat.
Okay.
All right.
So always the illegal bat in Little League. Right. You know?
And do all the kids seem to be using the same bat?
The same couple bats, yeah. Okay. They're all getting pretty good hits and
yeah,
all
they're
that.
Crushing it.
And we're not doing so hot because we're using regular bats.
Right.
But whatever. It comes down to if you can hit or not.
Who thought to look at the other kid's bat?
One of the parents of the kid on our team.
Yeah.
And so now the coach of the other team is kind of like a hothead a little bit. And
sure.
So, and he's like sending all his runners and all that. Yeah, but he's like sending the runners. Then when we try and do it, he calls us out on it. So it's like, okay, dude.
Right.
You know, so but then this dad, who's like 6'4", 300 pounds.
Big dude.
Calls him out on the bats. Says, the bats you're using are illegal.
Right.
And
I'm reporting to the league.
Stop the game.
Stop the game from the stands? Is he like, stop the game?
So the head coach is not there because he had surgery. So I'm running the show with this other dude who's like the most chill guy ever.
Oh, no.
Nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And then the dad is like supposed to be helping out. And he's taking full charge. And I'm just like, you do what you got to do. I don't care.
Right.
I want to go home.
Yeah.
And so he stops the game. He tells the teams to go to the dugouts. Like both teams go to the dugouts.
Okay,
he's like, he's like, I'm going to find the league guy,
commissioner,
head guy, who happens to be coaching another game across about 100 yards away.
On a different diamond.
And so he starts walking towards the field, and then this is a big guy, so he's not moving too fast.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So we're all waiting for him to go.
It's like watching Billy Bob Thornton
finally,
Sling Blade
so now he's there, and
the
he's
diamond.
Talking to the guy, yeah, and we're all looking at it, and
what's
I look
happening?
At the other coach, and I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. I go, start the game. I go, and I look at the other coach, the hothead. I go, start. I go, I don't care.
Yeah.
I go, you can use Mickey Mantle's bat. I go, I don't care. Start the game. Kids, get out there. Let's go.
Let's finish the game.
And we just finished, and that was it. And by the time the guy got back, he felt really, like, stupid about making a big deal about it.
Yeah.
So he's like, she apologized to everybody. And it was just this huge ordeal, though, and it was embarrassing.
But was he right? Were the bats inspected eventually?
Apparently the bats were not. Yeah,
nobody had a tape measure on them to go around the barrel?
No one knows. There's no clarity on the rule. The rule's vague. So
okay.
This needs to be handled from the top. The commissioner, Selig Jr., whatever
right.
his name is. Whoever's running the show, get involved.
Selig, he has been commissioner for years.
See, everyone must use this bat. This size, there's no exceptions.
Okay.
Make it simple.
You're right, Clay, but the people do get heated up in the summertime for You know, it's funny where people decide to go off, right? I'm gonna have my thing. I'm gonna go off on a kid's little league.
Whoever the commissioner is of that league, if he acted like Bart Giamatti towards this guy, there'd be a lot of angry parents. You know, the kids banning him from.
Mike is asking, did the kids get scared? The kids were more like, I think they were a little relieved that they got their little break.
I used to love that kind of stuff. when I'd see a confrontation,
they were just more like, whatever, they don't care. I think the kids on our team who was losing thought like they were being cheated. You know, they were like,
sure,
these guys are cheating.
I think it's awesome that you guys are still playing. Our season's already over. Like, you guys are playing into like late June. That's nice.
Yeah, we got like 7 or 8 more games to go.
Right.
So,
Bill, anybody flipping out on your end in your sphere?
Liquor flying?
No, not yet. Starting to. You know, you start a new
traffic
role. You start a new role anytime you start a new job and you're getting all, 104 accounts thrown at you all at once.
Oh.
And it's like, it could be a little overwhelming in one way or another.
Portfolio.
But, the sad part is what's happened during the pandemic, trying to get everybody their product and being fair to them on pricing. Look, I know they're all broke.
Right.
You know, and at the same time, I'm also trying to navigate a channel of business for myself where I'm like, I want to give everybody the best deal, but I don't want to screw myself, hence the language, over.
Right.
And the fact when I'm shooting for sales numbers down the line, and because I sold them in some of these cheap discounts, they're never ever going to like the price that I have to present them again.
You know what I'm saying? I call this segment?
So there's some of that navigating and
sales tales.
Sales tales, baby. Bill, if you refer to your Russian sales manual, all of these questions are answered. It's called Start a New Route, Chapter 27.
Yes. How to Start a New Route, Chapter 8.
Right.
Yeah, I better read that.
First by motorcycle. Ride fast through street.
Mm-hmm. Motorcycle, because I mean, it's not practical for my job, but it'd be a nice way to show up.
You know what?
I bet if I showed up on a Harley, everyone would be like, "Whoa, I better buy some booze."
Bill, your job's kind of similar to mine. We're in our cars a lot. We're going to many locations per day. I had a guy who actually worked with me, and he decided one day in the summer that he was going to be healthy and ride his bike.
Bad idea, jeans.
He said he was drenched in sweat. Yeah. By the time he met everybody, the one person told him to leave.
Yeah, dude, you gotta go home.
You gotta go
shower.
Wipe yourself off.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'm just trying to be healthy.
Yeah,
I believe it. Yeah,
it's not working.
No, there's people that are frustrated right now, trying to reopen their business, and they're also they're short staffed, so they don't like they're having a difficult time taking care of their customers and trying to do inventory on their own business.
You bring up an interesting point because in the city here, I was trying to book a luncheon, right, for next week and calling some of these restaurants. A lot of them aren't open for lunch anymore, right? We're only open at this time. Like,
I mean,
we're trying to
hell these guys, you know?
And then I was going down 95th Street the other night at about 8:30 at night, and there's a variety of businesses on 95th Street on the south side, right?
Right.
And half of them are closed, and I was like, this is weird. Like,
I think people are being selective.
Well, I think it's like
there is a lot of that.
When we were
and
all
then waiting for tomorrow, because tomorrow's the big day.
But when we were all wearing the masks and kind of covered up in this COVID world, our eyes weren't especially open to the fact that some of these businesses has gone under and we just don't know it.
Yeah, they're not coming back. Yeah.
So I'm like, what? So it just it reminded me of this song. All right, and I had it queued up. But it's David Byrne and Nothing But Flowers by the Talking Heads.
Oh,
and you might equate what he's talking about to kind of how I think a lot of people are feeling these days.
Smiling upon them from the age of the dinosaurs.
That David was kind Byrne. Of fitting there, Pap.
Yeah, nothing but flowers. Kind of about a post-apocalyptic, you know.
Post-apocalyptic.
Say that fast. A post-apocalyptic event has occurred, and David Byrne is sort of expressing in that song that he sees himself in the future as a guy who wished for all those things to happen, right?
Ah.
But he misses his Pizza Huts and his gasoline. And
yeah.
So
of course.
Too much of a good thing can be dangerous.
That's Ooh, correct. Right?
I'm just kind of tread lightly.
Be careful in this heat.
But it reminds me a bit of, doesn't it seem like, I mean, COVID is kind of apocalyptic of what happened in a very minor way. But it, when you see the fallout of these businesses, I think that's when people are going to start to look around and go, wow, that was, there was a lot more going on than I realized while I was just sitting and hunkered in my basement.
You Trying know? To navigate yeah. your own inner world.
Right. Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
My favorite my war song is 99 Luftballons.
Really? Your favorite war song?
Yeah, that's one of them.
By Nina.
Well, you know what that song is about.
What is it about?
It's about a group of people release 99 balloons in the air, and they're mistaken for warships. So these nations all start fighting over what they think is
right.
like UFOs.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, it all goes south. And it's a show of power thing. And
oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you know, it's actually, you know, there's somebody in some bar somewhere in Chicago
in
rocking out to this right now, you know?
In West Berlin.
Yes. when I used to frequent that used German bookstore.
Yes. We never clarified that.
They used
that.
To play that at all the
Is
parties.
Is it filled with used Germans or used German books?
It's both. Yeah.
My name is Stefan. I'm a used German. I'm from the parties.
Yes. I met them at Goodwill.
I've been used and abused.
I met them shopping at Goodwill.
He's wearing my jacket.
Yes.
From grade school. I was a big kid.
Yeah.
I love chocolate.
Me too.
Wow.
An insane little segment that turned into.
Sure did.
Good I could God. Go on for
I can
hours.
Keep going.
Anytime I mention.
It could be a full Broadway musical.
It could be.
We could turn that into.
What? Dude, I saw
Das Chocolate is the name of.
We could call it Doc. We could call it Das Chocolate. And we could have Dirk Nowitzki and Detlef Schrempf in it, like as like dancers or something. You know,
Nowitzki. Yeah, he plays an old innkeeper.
Yes.
Nowitzki plays an old innkeeper. Well, then who does
need a room?
Yeah, who does Detlef play then?
Your book is it used?
Detlef plays a hitman.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a hitman. He can do good with the,
we'll throw Chris Mullins in there too. Why not?
Why? Because him and Detlef both had like the flat tops.
Yeah, I don't know why the flat top.
They're the
gives
white
me
guys
the hit,
with the flat
gives
tops.
Me the hitman vibe.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
I'm trying to process what the heck just.
Hold on, we're talking.
You were
about
talking about
immigrants.
Germans.
We're talking
I just
about
started
beautiful immigrants.
Well, we were talking about a used German bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it evolved into some sort of Broadway musical starring Dirk Nowitzki.
And Detlef Schrempf.
But somebody became a hitman. I thought the whole thing was going to be about books. And it was like, no. It's just
books
about...
Books are boring.
It's just about all things kind of German.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of...
What's the plot synopsis? This show is just about all things kind of German. Yeah. You're going to love it.
Speaking of...
Dance is right on the line.
Of European NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The MVP of the NBA, Nikolai Jokic.
Yeah.
Jokic.
Yes.
Has won the award.
It's impressive.
He's not very flashy. He's kind of like Tim Duncan. He's very, like,
boring.
I want the Bulls to trade
for Porzingis.
Can I play a song for this, man?
Sure you can.
It's a song called The Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. That's for you, Nicola. We love you.
That's right.
We love you in your crazy jump shots.
Yes, Clay, you know what? We love you in your crazy jump shots. Congratulations.
He's not in the hall, though, I don't think, yet.
No, I'm talking about Nikolai Jokic. No,
I thought you were talking about Detlef. Sorry.
No, Detlef, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Six-time All-Star.
Yeah, he will.
All right.
He was that good? Wow.
Yeah. You know where Bill and I went on Saturday night, Clay?
Salvation Army?
Well, no.
I haven't gone to any
teasers. You haven't been thrifting? You mean you haven't gone summer thrifting yet?
I know, but what was the name for it? We had a name for
Salvation Army?
Yeah.
Boutique.
The Sal Boutique.
Where'd you guys go to? An outdoor strip club?
The Sal Boutique, yeah.
I go to Goodwill.
No, we did not go to a strip club.
We went to Mount Carmel High School fight night.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, first time they had one since COVID, and I haven't been down to my alma mater in a long time.
How's it looking?
It's nice.
Way nicer than it was when you went there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You would want it to be, right? But yeah, it's a lot nicer, and it was a great time. Great. I had my son with me. It was always fun. It was his first time ever seeing boxing fights.
Yeah, what do you think?
He loved it.
Yeah.
He wanted me to, like, while we were watching the fight, he's like, come down and shadow box with me while they're boxing. And I'm like, oh, okay, Mike, whatever. I'll entertain him. I think he really got into it because at one point they had – now, Fight Night at Mount Carmel High School is an exhibition between the students in certain weight classes. And during lunch, usually at the second half of the year, a tournament begins where lots of guys used to enter, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. If you had a beef with a guy at school – in old school days, the teachers would be like, you guys are fighting in the gym tomorrow, and everyone's going to put pay an admission fee, and that money would go to the missions, right?
Yeah.
And then there would be a referee, and guys would duke it out, and they would become part of the tournament bracket for Fight Night. Then you had guys who trained, you know?
Right.
But it was an amazing event when we were doing it, Clay, in high school. And Bill, you actually made it to Fight Night one year.
Yeah. I got knocked out, though, pretty quickly.
You did. You got knocked out cold.
I wouldn't say knocked out. Not knocked out
cold. I got a standing eight count. I fought. I was a novice boxer.
You were a heavy smoker.
I was fighting.
Yes,
not
was.
There. Yes.
What do you mean not there?
I was there.
Did you have a cigarette the day of the fight?
Probably. Probably I did, yes. That I'm not arguing. I wasn't smoking Minties then, but, you know.
No, straight tar.
Straight tar, yeah. No, I fought a kid who had been in the CYO's Golden Gloves, and he just, I mean, it was like a no contest very quickly, but the experience alone was amazing. And then the next year I tried to go and do it, and I lost to my classmate Miracle Soldo, tough dude from the East Side.
Yeah, Mickey.
He beat me. And then that was it for my boxing career.
Anyway, it was fun to go down there. Yes, Mike Sarkowski asked a good question. Are the boxers wearing head guard? Yes, they're wearing head guard. The gloves are a little bit bigger than normal. So it's
some good fights, though?
Really good. And these kids are great.
Three rounders?
They're three rounds.
Yep.
And these guys, some of them go right at it from the bell. Just bah! You know, they start swinging, you know. And then other guys are laid back and know how to box.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's fun to watch both styles. And the crowd really gets into it because all the students are there and they've watched the tournament all year.
Do you get entrance music?
No. But they
did have that when I was.
No, but they do put a heck of a production on. They got the, you know, the announcers and the whole, the ring is lit up in the gymnasium, and it's kind of a auditorium style seating.
What song would you play as your entrance song if you were a boxer?
Ooh, Razor's Edge by AC/DC.
Creepy. What about you, Billy?
I don't know, man.
Jump around?
No jumping around. I'm not going the House of Pain route.
Come on, Eileen.
No, come on, Eileen. Oh, maybe 99 Luftballons, man.
There you go. Actually, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know what mine would be?
What's that?
Ectomorph by Arthur Yorgan.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. That is amazing, too. I could tell there were a couple.
I'd soften up the other fighter so much that he would fall asleep, and I'd just punch him in the stomach.
Absolutely.
You look like you've gained some weight.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, you get that in a boxer's head, he'll start thinking about his own
fight.
His weight. Touch gloves. Go. Ding.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, Fight Night, it was a good time, good family event. I could tell that Mikey really got into it. My son got into it because they had an exhibition at one point of kids. They had 2 8-year-old kids go at it.
No, it was an 8 and a 10-year-old.
Yeah. They were very skilled boxers, and I think Mikey turned to me and he was like, you can do this as a sport? And I was like, yeah, this is, but he was stunned by it.
Learn. This is the hardest sport in the world.
Well, he was into it, and I know that some people might think that was barbaric, you know, but I thought it was awesome. It was old school. They have it up at
Brooks Park up here. I watch it with my kids.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. It's a good ting.
It's a good ting.
It is indeed.
Anyway, that was a great event, so thank you, Mount Carmel. Let's take a commercial break.
Yeah.
More Hoolies after this.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Go to the Cork and Kerry.
Hey, it's a hood.
Great spot. I was there last night.
Yeah.
And I had some Fox's Pizza as well.
In the bar?
Yep.
Come on.
Yep, they'll do that for you. Get your butt out there and say hello to the bartenders.
Sure.
Jack and Charlie.
Tomorrow's
a shout out.
Yeah, the big day, the unveiling. The veils come off.
Of what?
Mask. No mask anymore.
Correct.
He's maskless.
It's a maskless
town. The strippers
town.
Go maskless tomorrow.
Do they?
The yes. strippers are going maskless this weekend. The day has finally come. The strippers go maskless. It's arrived.
Right.
Some you may wish they put their mask back on.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Speaking of which, I was at the pool.
Yeah.
There's no modesty left in the world.
Why
no.
do you say?
Yeah.
Christian, I'm, Pat?
Well, I have been forgiven for all the sins at that used German bookstore.
Yeah, in the outdoor strip club.
And, yes, an outdoor strip club.
We got to open an outdoor strip club. And people can see from the street.
An outdoor strip club in Chicago. That'll go over real nice.
Just use the trees as poles.
Hey, we got, remember the old Northerly Island? We're turning it into an outdoor strip
Turn
venue.
Turn the whole joint into a strip club. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful wow. marble floors.
I'm sure there isn't.
Marble floors in an outdoor strip club.
Yeah.
What called, a concept.
It's called Mr. Marbles.
Mr. Marbles over on Dearborn. No, you can't, like...
You think there's such a thing? Is there a guy who's a strip club architect? Like the go-to guy? You know, he's like,
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, he's like, I did Oceans. I did Mr. Marbles.
You gotta put the stage in the front. The customers can go 360 around. You don't want to block any walls.
Right.
Fire exits go here. The bar should be here.
I want mirrors around the trees.
Mirrors everywhere. Mirrors everywhere.
This is the most absurd discussion we've ever had on the program.
Those poles are not regulation size. Take them out.
They got like lamp posts that like are designed to look like you know, like the dentist tool that they stick in your mouth. That's like a circular mirror.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what like the they have posts coming up and like those things just like hanging all over the marble dance floor.
Put some serious thought into his strip club.
It's like a row of it. They look like streetlights.
Did you hear it just came out of this kid's mouth?
They look like streetlights.
Did you hear?
Oh, I think we're out. Mike is searching the internet for us on this, and it looks as if there isn't. Well, I think
there's no outdoor strip clubs?
Billy's Toys?
In the whole world?
Billy's Toys designs strip clubs.
Yeah, sure.
Outdoor
strip
clubs.
It's not too far-fetched. You know? Bill? Hey, who's the strip club architect? Well, it says here on paper, it's owned by Billy's Toys, LLC.
Bill, look, I gotta hit the.
I wonder who's behind Billy's Toys.
A couple of Christian radio hosts.
Right. Three Irish guys with an Irish, supposedly Irish radio station are behind Billy's Toys, LLC. A
couple of bald smoking Irish radio hosts.
Very confusing.
Bill, I gotta rewind a little bit here.
Sure.
Bill said that his dream stage for his strip club design would contain oversized dental mirrors, the ones that they stick in your mouth, on each side of the stage, you know, six on each side, so you could see the stripper.
Yeah, they're like an angle.
From your seat. That is one of the most ingenious things I have ever heard in my whole life.
For sure.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's weird.
Bill's dental themed strip club.
What would be a dental
wisdom?
What is that tool called?
Open wide.
Yeah, we got to put some open wide mirrors. I want open wide mirrors.
It's the name of the company.
Oh, open wide.
It's the name of the club. Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes. Open wide.
Hey, who makes those strip club dental mirrors? Open wide. It's owned by Billy's Toys, LLC.
No, open wide should be the name of the club.
That's nuts.
All the booze are
that might be the lowest we've ever gone on this program.
No, it's not.
I don't think so. I don't know.
No.
Anyway,
we're going higher now.
Did you guys, speaking of that, what I was saying at the pool is the decency is gone.
What, right? Did you see a thong or something?
Yeah, but you see people, you see people that are 400 pounds walking around in thongs. They look nude, right?
Yeah,
right.
But
and they got tats all over their butt, you know, and they're not attractive. And you know, and your 6-year-old son is just like wallowing in the water next, you know, it's. It's
wallowing in the water?
Yes, he's wallowing in the water amongst these
things. You should be
things.
Teaching said son to accept people for who they are.
This I am.
Might have well,
been
I suppose
trying to lose
you know
weight
what?
For 70
if
years.
If you could last around them, you could probably survive naked and afraid.
What would you wear in a pool if you're 400 pounds?
I wouldn't be in a pool.
Why not?
Maybe. You never suffered that kind of heat.
Yeah, come on.
Thank you, doctor.
You'd be in a pool ASAP.
I would be.
I wouldn't
be. I'd be like, spray me down.
I'd be wearing the tightest thong on the market.
I don't know. It's just people used to look nice. Like they'd have a certain level of respect for where they were going. Like the children's pool is not the Bellagio at Vegas. It's not like a Vegas pool. And that's what it's like turned into. Like I was loving the pool last week, right?
Yeah.
And then I went later.
Why? Because there was babes all over the joint?
No, because it was quiet.
Yeah. You know?
And now it's been invaded by Vegas?
It's been invaded. Like, I think I went Memorial Day week, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I guess the honeymoon's over. You know, everybody knows about it now. Mm-hmm. But the family-friendly environment started kind of going out the window, you know?
And it got raunchy.
I'm like, are people partying here? Like, I wonder what they got in those
cups. You
know what
they changed? You know?
Isn't there a song called Dirty Vegas?
Ever since Bobak pulled that spigot, since Bobak turned that wheel, it all went downhill.
Yes, ever since the spigot at the pool was turned and the brown water came out.
Next week, Sammy Hagar will be there.
Now that would be great.
Would it?
Well, sure, why not?
Pouring some Cabo Wabo.
I can't drive 55.
Everybody wants to, though.
Yeah.
They're doing it in Chicago. They're just doing 60 instead of 55.
They're doing 60, but they're holding AK-47s out the window.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you one thing. We could curb a lot of violence if we had open wide mirrors just everywhere.
Yeah, if you had the outdoor strip club, you would probably curb, the violence would cease to exist.
I think Bill was talking from a Big Brother perspective. He wants to put those mirrors on every street corner.
You want to use them for surveillance?
Well, they're like green friendly, you know? Bill's handing Mike his phone. He wants to say something. What is it, Bill?
Can you see?
All right.
Bill just went into his Bee Gees impersonation.
Yeah.
I'm on this text thread with you guys that we're all having huge White Sox fever. Huge.
Yeah, it's a good time.
And Clay, did you watch the game the other night? Is Madrigal hurt now? I feel like the injuries are just mounting and mounting for the White Sox, but it just gets more and more fun to watch. These pitching duels have been amazing.
You gotta hope that some of the younger guys can pick up the slack. But yes, he's hurt. He's out. Don't even count on him coming back at this point.
Well, I think that's what has been so fun to watch the White Sox
adjust
and like just keep winning and hanging in there. And that gets me excited. I mean,
four games up in the division as we speak tonight. They got another win.
Get you, Randy Pat?
Yes, it does.
You know what's going to be fun? This Cubs Sox series coming up.
Yeah, when is that?
I believe is it the last week of June?
Do you think there'll be any Instagram filmed violence?
I don't know. You know, the interesting part is that I think by that time they're going to be at full capacity in these ballparks.
Capacity.
What did he say?
Capacity.
Oh yeah, drop the
we're in a capacity thing. No,
guys, capacity. We're at full capacity.
Well, guys, listen. When you're designing an outdoor strip club, capacity is a very integral thing.
You want to fit as many people comfortably.
You want to think about capacity.
You want to think about comfort.
Right.
Comfort. Joy.
My three C's are comfort, capacity, and I can't say the third one on the radio.
But I'm afraid that like when they get to full capacity, there could be some dangerous things going down.
It's gonna be a brawl or two. Let me tell you, alcohol and baseball don't mix.
Well, they're opening the stadiums are gonna go full open now, so that's exciting. I think that's fun.
I feel like the crowd anger has picked up this year in all sports. Yeah.
Maybe. I mean,
people are getting spit on. Those girls were fighting it.
I know that.
Guy knocked out the guy at the Houston game. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that happens every year. It's just being filmed more.
That's exactly what it is, Clay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
And we're living in a tic-tac world, man.
It's unfortunate.
Well, it is.
You like it? Makes you horny?
Well, here's the thing about the phone, man. You bring your kids to the pool and you're like, let's take a break from the pool. My daughter's like, can I look at your phone and lay by the side of the pool? I'm like,
We're all cyborgs.
Come on!
We're cyborgs!
Unplug from the phone!
You can't.
Yeah.
Could you unplug from your phone for a year for $100,000?
Heck yeah.
You can't look at it.
I'll do it for 20 grand. I'll turn it off.
You do it for nothing?
No. That would not be beneficial.
No, you'd lose money.
You gain knowledge.
Do I get to keep a phone? Do I just get to keep a phone with an answering machine?
No, you get a phone from 1981.
Sure, like a rotary phone in my house.
So you can still call people.
Fine.
And a list of everyone's number that was on your cell phone.
Absolutely.
But you can't text, no internet, none of that.
I probably love it.
It would be wonderful.
It'd be liberating.
It would be.
You'd be picking up that phone so fast.
No.
Hearing that ring would be a beautiful sound.
Dude, do you know how much work I would get done? I could do the floor plans to
your strip club.
To what were we calling it earlier?
Open wine.
No, something with an M.
Mark Marcudo,
sir? I don't know. Come back to me.
Eddie Vedder mumbling in the background. Thank you, Clay. The other night at the White Sox game, they had Chris Chelios on doing the post game with Ozzie Guillen.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the other announcer, Bill?
Chuck Garfine?
Chuck Garfine. Which is a fun post game, actually. Ozzie,
I love that show.
Ozzie is hilarious to listen to. His filter is about as wide as ours, I suppose. But Chelios was the guest, and, he was giving some color commentary at the end of the game and talking about where, you know, he went to Mount Carmel just like we did. He's from the South Side and how he rooted for the Sox. But he also roots for the Cubs because Ozzie called him out. right? And he was like, no, I've seen the celebs. What's with the celebs in Chicago that, you know, when one team's good, they go to the games, and then when the other team's good, they get themselves on TV and go to the other games, right?
It's a media grab.
Yeah, well, Ozzie was giving, was digging him for it a little bit. He was like, no, you got to pick one, you know? And Chelios finally said, well, I grew up on the South Side. When the Sox are playing the Cubs, I want the Sox to win. You know,
yeah,
but I don't root against the Cubs. You know, he said, hey, my father owned a restaurant and we had patrons from both teams and we didn't take sides. We're not divisive, right?
Sure.
But Ozzie was kind of like, no, Bernie Mac did that too. That upset me, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The late Bernie Mac, God bless him. But it was funny to watch. And he also said, I believe he like kind of mentioned that Eddie Vedder was also
John Cusack and Eddie Vedder used to like the Sox and then they switched.
Shit. Right.
I love Bartman. Sorry, Bubman. I should have stuck up for you. Should have wrote you a ballad.
Yeah.
He still can.
He might.
Yeah.
He's losing it.
He is. We're near the end of our program. If you've enjoyed the last hour, you can find archives of this show if you go to hooliesholyradio.org. Hooliesholyshow. Or you go to hibernianradio.org.
There you correct. Go.
Got to go to iTunes correct. Or go to Hooli's Hooli Show.
We're all over the place.
Do want to thank our, yes, we are, no doubt about it. A wackier second half of the program tonight.
Extremely always
wacky.
Is.
Extremely wacky.
Always gets insane.
Yeah.
You're insane.
I want to thank our sponsors that are not insane. They're great. the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub out in Beverly and Bridgeport. Yep. Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Yep.
Flood Brothers Disposal. Mm-hmm. Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you.
Yep.
And the International Association Firefighters Union Local 2.
Yes.
Until next week, I wish you all a great week.
And have a good holiday.
Oh, and we're going to go out with a song.
We're going to go out with, I mean, I just killed it now.
No, Billy, take us out.
We're gonna go out with My Morning's Jacket, One Big Holiday.
Okay, Billy.
You know, because it's summer, dude.
Sounds good to me. I love this band.
So do I. Later. Bye.